Good morning, everyone. I really appreciated the good song service we had. Appreciated the very humble prayer, Brother Walker. You can always, when you ask someone to pray, you can see the difference between someone who prays to the people, someone who prays for the people. And I appreciated that prayer this morning. It was for the people, for the Lord's children, and in our behalf. And I appreciate the wording of that prayer very much. It's good to be here with you. I heard the comment about being in Colorado and how cool it is. I've been invited to come to Colorado next weekend. They're having a meeting, the three Colorado churches that are on the eastern side of the Rocky Mountains, they call it the Front Range. Denver, Colorado Springs, and Ordway are having a first meeting of the Front Range of Colorado churches at Colorado Springs. So I'll get to go up in a little bit of cool mountains, maybe get away a little bit of this heat for next weekend. So looking forward to that. I want to talk to you this morning out of one of the basic provisions in the New Testament of Jesus, and hopefully we'll apply it to our lives. I'm going to begin in the 21st chapter of Matthew, beginning in the 12th verse, and this is one of those instances that everyone has heard of, everyone knows about, and I hope that, well, we see the application of it here, but I hope that we can apply it to ourselves, both to our church and ourselves as individuals. Matthew 21, verse 12. And Jesus went into the temple of God. Now keep in mind, you know, we think of the temple, but it makes it clear it's the temple of God. This is the Lord's house. Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And he said unto them, As it is written, My house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it into a den of thieves. This when he cleansed the temple, he went in and threw out all the money changers and people that bought and sold the sacrificial animals. People were there turning the worship service into a flea market type deal. They were making money in the courtyards of the temple, and Jesus went through and cleaned it out. It wasn't the first time he'd done it. He'd done it back over in the first part of his ministry. If you go over here and read the second chapter of John, he does it there early on in his ministry, and it says he threw out those that did all sorts of things in the temple that weren't supposed to be there. And that time he took out a whip, leather whip, and had some metal shrouds at the end of it, and was kind of whipping people. You can see this one time that he appeared very unhappy and mad because they had turned, as he called it, the Lord's house into a den of thieves. They were using it to make money. I think there's some lessons in this, and because when Jesus did it here, he did it in the second chapter of John, did it once very early in his ministry, and then it's repeated again in Mark 11 and Luke 19, and here in Matthew 21. He did it toward the end of his ministry, just a couple of days before he was about to be sacrificed on the cross. He cleansed the temple. I think there's some real lessons in this for us in the church, and not only the church as a whole, but also us as individuals, that I hope that we can look at today. The Lord will be with us. It's very symbolic. The temple of that day, of course, was the center of worship. It was the temple of God. It was the Lord's house. It was built in His direction. It was built for the purposes of being there to worship Him, and that was the main purpose of it. Now, over a period of time, we see, as Jesus saw here, the people had turned it into something else. They'd used it as an opportunity to make money in exchange. And at that time, it was pretty well run by the high priest. High priest kind of controlled it, and he made money off of it, and that's how he made money for he and his family. And, you know, we see some of this today when we let things get into the house of the Lord that shouldn't be there for the wrong purposes. We ought to be here to worship the Lord, and that's our primary purpose for being here. It's not here for us to make money, and, you know, and I'm not talking about not doing business with the Lord's people or anything like that, but for the purpose of being here, our primary purpose is to be here to worship the Lord. You notice every Sunday this morning, we had donuts. Brother Joe doesn't charge for those donuts. He takes them here and gives it just for the comfort of the Lord's people. We have donuts and coffee in the morning if you get here early enough to get one of those with sprinkles on it. But we don't charge for those. We don't do that type of things. And I don't want to get into what other denominations may do. But I think if you get out in the world, you'll see where a lot of this is still taking place today. A lot of things going on in the church that don't really have any business there. Let's talk about the Lord's house for a minute and how we got started to this and where we are today. Got started to this, we didn't originally have a house of the Lord. When the world started and began, we didn't have a place to worship. People just kind of worshiped on their own. First time we see this was in the 8th chapter of Genesis when Noah stepped off the ark. He said that was hallowed ground and holy ground where he stepped off there. And he built an altar, built him up a little altar. And it says, and he worshiped the Lord, dedicated that ground, and he worshiped the Lord when he got off of the ark. We know that Abraham, when he was at the coming up, been told to leave his hometown and come over here into the land of Canaan, he stopped at the place called Shechem. I believe it's in the 32nd. Excuse me, I'm going to get ahead of Jacob's in 32nd. Abraham's in the 12th chapter of Genesis. He stops at Shechem. And he builds an altar there to the Lord to thank the Lord for leading him safely on this journey, showing him where he is to go. Shechem, of course, is a place that's up in the northern part of the Holy Land. It's a place where Jacob would later occupy his land and raise his family, his 12 sons. It's where he dug a well known as Jacob's Well that we read about in the 4th chapter of John where Jesus confronted the woman at the well. That was Jacob's Well. That was at Shechem. That's where Abraham had first built the altar. That's where Joseph, that area was where Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers later on. But that's an important location. We also see that in the 35th chapter of Genesis, Jacob, when he wrestled with the angel, he said he got to see the Lord face to face when he was wrestling with this angel. And after that was over, he built an altar, built up some rocks and built an altar and worshiped the Lord. He called that place Bethel because it was a holy place. We find out there's a certain holiness, dedication to places where we go to worship the Lord. Moses, if you remember when Moses was leading the people, the nation of Israel, in the wilderness, and he led them against the Amalekites, and Moses was leading the people, as long as he held his scepter up high, the people won. When his hands got tired and he dropped down, well, Israel started losing to the enemy. So Aaron, his brother, and the other priests got up and held his hands up so he could keep his hands up high. So they won and won this great battle over the Amalekites. Moses dedicated that spot because the Lord had been with him to let them win that battle. He dedicated that spot, built an altar, and he worshiped the Lord. So we see early on there were several examples of in the Old Testament about men building altars to worship the Lord. Later on in the book of Exodus, we see that the Lord, when he has Moses leading the nation of Israel out of Egypt, he tells Moses and gives him explicit instructions. Here's how I want you to create this worship center. We're going to call it the tabernacle. Gave him explicit instructions how to build it. This is where I will appear. This is where you'll come. This will be the center. All the nation of Israel, they made camp around this tabernacle. It was the very center. Levites were chosen to take care of it, but they created this kind of a traveling tent. It's what we know as a tabernacle today. When we have an outside place, maybe a bush arbor or something where we'll worship, we call that the tabernacle sometime. That's where the tabernacle got its name. But it was made of stakes like we have a tent, and it was covered with special hair, animal hides that the Lord gave instruction to, and had inside of it the holy and the most holy place where the Ark of the Covenant was. And the Lord says, that's where I'll appear. And he appeared. Smoke was above it. People knew the Lord was there. That's where the Lord made his presence known among the people. So that tabernacle was a very, very holy place. And it was used for more than 400 years, the tabernacle, until the time of David and Solomon, when David decided to just build a permanent place to the Lord. And the Lord instructed him, well, you can prepare for it, but you can't build it. We're going to let Solomon build it. So David did all the preparation, had all the stones cut. All the stones were cut off-site and measured precisely, brought in. Wasn't a hammer used to make or any kind of a thing that would create noise. Everything was cut off-site. David got all that equipment, lined up all the Levites, the priests that would be worshiping in it. Solomon built a temple. We know he built it in very ornate fashion. He collected gold. He did a lot of marrying of other nations' kings' daughters so that he could make all these partnerships and friendships and gather gold and wood. He made a great deal with the king of Lebanon so that he could go cut down their trees. You've heard of the cedars of Lebanon, all these cedar trees that were cut and placed inside the temple to decorate it, and it was later ornated with wood. A very holy place. It was very grandeur, very wonderful place, and kept very holy for a long period of time because the Lord appeared. And we know when that temple was dedicated in 2 Chronicles chapter 6 and 7, you know, Solomon had on this big feast, had thousands of people there. They dedicated thousands of animals to be sacrificed. He gave this wonderful prayer. The Lord answered that prayer in what we know of as 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear your prayers, I will forgive you, and I will heal your land. So everything about the worship service, the place of worship, was always very holy. It was very sanctified. It was intended to be used strictly and solely for the worship of the Lord. Unfortunately, after the death of King Solomon, well, things changed. We know that the nation of Israel divided at that time. They divided into two nations. The nation of Israel became the northern kingdom, and the nation of Judah, Benjamin, became the southern kingdom. Northern kingdom, we know, was lost to when it was captured and invaded by Assyria. And those people intermarried. They became the Samaritans, those intermarried Jews. They lost their identity. That's where the 10 tribes, you've heard of the lost tribes of Israel, those 10 tribes were lost. The bottom nation, Judah, stayed home for a number of 100 years before. I've forgotten my exact number right now. But they kept the temple there on the Temple Mount where David and then eventually Solomon had actually built it. And kept it in worship there, and that became the place to worship. You know, the woman at the well I mentioned earlier, John chapter 4, she said, "We know you Jews go into Jerusalem to worship at the temple. We go into the mountain." And Jesus told her that would change. But over a period of time after Solomon died, we had a number of kings, some good and some bad. One I want to point out, the first one that was bad is over here in 2 Chronicles. It's over in 2 Kings 2, but 2 Chronicles chapter 28. The king that took over was Ahaz. Took over, and he was a very young king, age 20. Beginning in the 28th chapter, he took over and reigned over Judah at the age of 20, and he reigned for 16 years. But he was known as one of the bad kings, one of the worst ones. And as being king, he was also in charge of the temple. That was one of their primary duties. The Levites took care of it. But the king, like David and like Solomon, had been in charge of the temple worship service. And it said, "And he did that which was not right in the sight of the Lord. For he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel and made him molten images for Balaam." Started creating him idols and images that he shouldn't have been. And he sent his kids through the fire, sacrificed children to fire, and did with all the things he shouldn't do. But I want you to look and see specifically, you'll get over toward the end of the 28th chapter, and it talks about what he did. He started taking those holy vessels out of the temple, the furniture, the candlestick, the brazen lavas, all those showbread tables, all those pieces of furniture that were made out of gold and silver, took those pure vessels out and sold them to make himself money, gave them away. He locked the doors to the temple, shut it down and closed it. He put in a lot of the idolatry things that he had made inside the temple. He turned the temple and he corrupted it, completely corrupted it. Put a lot of things in there that had no place in there. And you'll see that not only in verse 24, but also in 2 Kings, I believe it's 16, where it talks about this. But it says, "And Ahaz gathered together the vessels of the house of God and cut them into pieces, the vessels of the house of God, and shut up the doors of the house of the Lord. He made him altars in every corner of Jerusalem, altars to the gods of Baal. And in several cities of Judah, he made high places to burn incense to other gods and provoke to anger the Lord God of his fathers." He polluted the temple. He took all the vessels out of it. He locked the doors. He put stuff in there to worship pagan gods. He put stuff in the temple that had no place. After he died, you see in chapter 29, though, his son took over, a king named Hezekiah. He was the son of Ahaz. Now, this is one of those times when the son did not follow the father. He was a good king, and he changed things. And when I talked about it a while ago, Jesus cleansing the temple, It was actually Hezekiah was the first one to really cleanse the temple. He came in and he changed things. Verse 2 of chapter 29. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that David his fathers had done. In the first year of his reign, in the first month that he took over. You know, we talk about how our presidents have the first 100 days that they've kind of got a honeymoon type of deal. He started right off the bat. It says in the first year, in the first month. He opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. First of all, he did, he says, let's open our church back up. Let's open our building back up. He brought in the priests and the Levites whom Ahaz had run off and gathered them together in the street outside. Sanctify yourselves. Make yourselves holy again. Sanctify the house of God your fathers and carry forth the filthiness out of this holy place. He said, let's clean this place up. Let's cleanse the temple. Let's open the doors again. Let's open the church back up to the people. Let's open the doors. And I think you can see what he did. He gets down here and he told, verse 11, he told the priests, don't be negligent in serving the Lord. He's chosen you to stand before him, so let's don't be negligent. Verse 15, and they gathered all the brethren. They got all the ministers back together again under the leadership of Hezekiah. And they sanctified themselves. And they went in to cleanse the house of the Lord, the end of verse 15. And they did cleanse it. And they took out all the things that didn't belong there. They took them out. And they took and repaired and rebuilt all the furniture that was go back in the house of the Lord that his father Ahaz had destroyed. Put in a lot of pagan worship deals. Not only did it says, number one, we're going to open the doors of the church. Number two, we're going to clean it out. Number three, all those stuff that we cleaned out, all those pagan gods, he says, we're going to take them in verse 16 to the brook Kidron. Now, this is repeated, a lot of this is repeated over in 2 Kings, verse 23. In 2 Kings 23 and 6, it says, when they took them down to the brook Kidron, Kidron was one of the valleys that runs right through Jerusalem, right next to the city, the walled city just outside the temple. Took them down there to the brook, and you know what that was? That was the dump ground. It's where you went down and dumped your trash. And it says, if you go over and read it in 2 Kings chapter 23, it says, he took them down there. Not only did he dump them there, he set fire to them and burned them. All those pagan idols and stuff. So he opened the doors. He cleansed the temple. He took all the junk stuff that didn't belong and burned it, got rid of it, didn't store it. He got rid of it and burned it. And then finally it said he restored the practice, got all the priests back in, and he restored the church service. That's what he did in cleansing this temple. Verse 20, he talks about he gathered them all up and the church service was restored in the rest of the chapter there. And it talked about he changed it. Verse 35 says, so the service of the house of the Lord was set in order. He cleansed the temple. Again, he opened the doors. He took out all the uncleanly things in the pagan worship service, cleaned it out. He took the things he cleaned out and took them down and burned them, got rid of them. And then he restored the service. And said, you know what happened when he did that? And they hadn't had this in 16, 20 years now since his father had been service. But he opened the doors. He cleansed it out, cleaned out all the stuff that didn't belong there, restored all the stuff that should go along there. All the stuff he took out, he took down and burned it. And he restored the worship service like it used to be. You know what happened? People came back to church. First thing they did was they had the Passover service there. And the Passover service lasted a week. And they got the end of that week when all the people were coming back to the temple and worshiping. And they said, can we do this another week? And they extended the church service another week. That was the first time this was cleansed. And when Christ over there, when he came in and cleansed the temple, he cited Isaiah and Jeremiah about how you've turned my house of Lord into a den of thieves. But it was the same thing. They give us more detail over here under the reign of King Ahaz and King Hezekiah about what it takes, though, to restore the house of the Lord. Now, I thought about this a lot because I've thought about a lot that this church has done. This church, you know, was in... wasn't very many attending here at one time, not all that long ago. You had a fire here and hurt the church, whatever. You guys have come back in and you have restored service here. You've opened the doors of the church. You've got fellowship going on again now, strong. You've taken out the stuff that doesn't belong here, and I don't know there was any, except that you have come in and you have modernized our worship place. Not that that has anything to do with our eternal salvation, but it follows the order of Hezekiah about when you do the right things in the house of God, people come back to worship, and they come back to church. And you'll say, you know, Brother Don, well, what does that really have to do with us today? By cleaning, I think it has great application, not only us today, the church, as we just talked about the Midland Church, but it has application to us in our own lives. 1 Corinthians, Apostle Paul tells us, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God?" He's talking to the church here. The temple's gone. It went away when they destroyed it a couple times in the Old Testament, and then they destroyed it again in the New Testament in the year 70 after the one that Herod rebuilt for the people. The temple's gone. We don't have the temple anymore. Remember, that's what the woman at the well told Jesus, "I know you people that are Jews go to the temple to worship, and we go to the mountain." He says, "Well, it won't be long for you don't go to the temple or the mountain. You worship the Lord in spirit and in truth." We don't have that temple worship anymore. But Apostle Paul says, well, you are now the temple, the church. The church is now the temple. It's the center of our worship service. And we don't worship the building. That's not what we're talking about here. He's talking about the actual worship service, whether it's here or whether it's under a tree or whether it's in some temporary facility. "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, tell him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." He's talking to the church there. And he says the church has now become the spiritual temple. It's holy, and we come here to worship the Lord. And that's our primary purpose. When we see some of the churches out in the world, and again, I don't want to pick on anyone particularly, but any of them can do this, and we've seen even some of our old Baptist churches get into this worship from time to time. When we bring stuff into the church that doesn't belong here, then it's time for us to go through and cleanse it. And we have to do that every now and then with the churches. You know, with churches, we go on for a period of time, and we get a little lackadaisical. We allow things not only to get in the church, I don't mean the necessarily hardcore pagan things, but we need to be looking at it all the time to make sure that we're coming here to worship the Lord as He's directed us. But also to make sure that we don't have things going on in the church that shouldn't. We don't need false doctrines going on in church. We don't need false practices going on in the church. We don't need people using the church to make money with. We're to come here and worship the Lord. When we do that, we find out the Lord really blesses us. We find out the Lord blesses us because He brings the increase. We come back here, and you know, we talked about Apostle Paul about I plant and Apollos watered, but the Lord gives the increase. Well, that's what, when we're planting and watering, that means we're addressing the church. We're addressing the church to make sure we're practicing and preaching the way we ought to be in the church. That we've got the church good and clean as best as it can be. And it doesn't have to be anything special. It just has to be good and clean, and we respect it for that it is. And that's when we're in here, we're here to worship the Lord. Apostle Paul goes over a few chapters later in chapter 6, into chapter 6, and he says here at verse 19, he's talked over here about the church is the temple of God. Now he says it a little differently. He said, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?" Your body is not your own. It's a temple of God. All those things that we've said about the temple apply to you in your body. That bothers me a lot. You know, when I see the things that were cleansed out of the temple, I need to go through and cleanse my own body. I'm not talking just necessarily about the physical body, and that's part of it. I'm talking also about the mental part of my body. I need to cleanse it every now and then. I need to go through and take the things out of my mind, out of my heart, and out of my soul that don't belong there. When we think about our body is the temple, and that goes along with what we have under the New Testament, where the Lord says, "I'll put my laws into their hearts and into their minds. I'm going to put myself inside you. You become the temple." You know how the Lord used to come down and appear before above the tabernacle, appear in the temple? The Lord appears inside us now. He puts Himself inside us. That's how things are revealed to us. That's how we understand the things of the Lord. If you're up here hearing what I'm saying, it's not because of the way I'm saying or anything. It's because the Lord has opened up your heart to hear His message. Apostle Peter preached in his own language on the day of Pentecost, but everybody heard it in their language that they needed to hear it, the way they needed to hear it. And that's the way the Lord works. I've had people tell me sometimes they heard something that I said and it went right to their heart, and I went, I don't think I said that. But they heard it the way the Lord wanted it delivered, because He's delivering it in the temple. He's delivered inside here. And that's what the Apostle Paul tells us. Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. The Lord is, this is His place. Now, the building doesn't matter. It's here we are today, and so I'll refer to it that it is, but the church as a body is the temple. And then you individually are the temples. And we have to go through, no difference in Christ's day. Now these people, you know, they did what they were thinking is right without guidance, without going to the Lord first. We needed to go to the Lord constantly and say, Lord, help us cleanse our temple. Our temple that's not only the church, but our temple that's our individual bodies. David did it right in verse 51 because we need the Lord's help on cleansing us. Chapter 51 of Psalms, Psalms 51. Have mercy on me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression. I appreciated the prayer this morning that was went to the heart of this. Verse 2, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. We ought to be praying to the Lord on a regular basis to cleanse us, cleanse our bodies, examine our minds and our hearts to make sure that we're doing the things that are right. And in this doing this, I'd call your attention to what Hezekiah had to do. Number one, we need to open the temple back up. We need to make sure the church is open. We need to make sure it's open not only physically, but spiritually. We need to invite people to church. I'm not talking about recruiting people to save their souls. Y'all know better than that. I know better than that. But we ought to invite people. You know, you think, well, I don't know. They'll ask what do we believe, and I don't know what to tell them, and I'm not sure I can explain it right. You remember the woman at the well that I talked to in John chapter 4? She went into town to tell people about this man Jesus. You know what word she gave to him? Come and see. Come and see. If you invite people to church, let the Lord take care of the rest of it. Let the Lord put Himself in their hearts and their minds. It's us to us to do the watering, to do the planting and the watering, and that's to invite people to church. You know, we're not bringing people here to save souls. We want people to come because we've got a doctrine that's got something that'll do them some good today and tomorrow. The Lord will take care of the saving of their souls. That's not our job. But our job is to open the doors of our church physically and spiritually, that we invite people in here. That's part of the cleansing of the church. We're to take things out that don't belong here. That's one of our primary duties, is the doctrine. We've got to make sure we're preaching the right doctrine and false doctrine. My dad used to tell me he had several deacons in the church when he'd get up and speak. One of the main ones I always remember him talking about was Charlie Watson, Elder Don Watson's father at Muleshoe. He said, when I'd get to preaching, I wouldn't say something exactly right after church. Well, Brother Charlie would come up to me and says, let's talk about that scripture. Because the deacons knew the Bible every bit as good as the minister did. That's part of your job, to help keep the church clean. Help make sure that the doctrine is correct, that's preacher. Make sure our practices are correct. We are a new covenant church. Now, the Old Testament was the Old Covenant. Jesus brought with us the New Covenant. The Old Covenant had ministers in robes and priests in robes. It had a practice. It had all the sacrifices. It had all the rituals that go with all that Old Testament service. It had instrumental music galore. You can read what David put in the church. He put cymbals and organs and violins and all sorts of, and trumpets, all sorts of musical instruments in the church. Put them in there. And then God come along and told us in the 8th chapter of Hebrews, quoting back from the Old Testament, about, I'm going to change the covenant. We're not going to have the old covenant like we did before. We're going to have the new covenant. And it's going to be led by Jesus. And when Jesus came, who was the first minister that came in the Jesus era? It was John the Baptist. Was he wearing the ornate robes that they were wearing in the Old Testament? No. He was wearing loincloths and hides and came preaching, but it was the substance of his message. If you look at the examples we have in the New Testament, that's why we are a New Covenant church. We're referred to many times as Primitive Baptists or the old-timey church, the old-fashioned church, antiquated church. And I understand why they say that, and that doesn't really bother me, because I think I know what they mean by that. What I want to point out is the Primitive Baptist Church is the most modern church I know of because we worship according to the New Testament. If you're using instrumental music, you're still worshiping under the Old Testament. When you start adding stuff to the church, we follow the church under the New Covenant that was established by Jesus Christ and His apostles. And that was a simple service. We sing songs from the heart. We don't use instrumental music. We go over where we were told that those were loud and boisterous and get rid of them. If you read the ninth chapter, eighth chapter of Hebrews, we talked about with the new covenant. Read the ninth chapter, the very first verse. It says, and part of that old covenant that's gone and faded away now, was the worship service. Remember, he goes into great length at the end of the eighth chapter to say, that old covenant is gone. It's faded away. We don't worship like that anymore. Nothing we do under the Old Testament anymore. So now we, instead of a doctrine of law, we've got a doctrine of grace. And everything's changed. And verse chapter 9 starts off, it says, and part of that old covenant, the one he just told us is gone now and we don't follow anymore. Part of that covenant, an integral part, was the worship service. We don't worship like that anymore. We don't have any of those. We don't wear the priests. We don't have the rituals. We don't have any of the instrumental music. We don't have anything we did under the old covenant. And we try to follow that today, and that's part of the job of cleansing the church, is to make sure we keep the church clean. Our focus here is between us and the Lord. I may be up here speaking, but you're an integral part of this. If you're not praying, then the preacher's not going to be here. It's not me. I promise you it's not me, because I don't have any business in my mind of being up here other than I've been called to do so, and I'm trying to follow that call. But it's not anything magic in me. The Lord will deliver the message to you, and my prayer, He uses me in order to do that in any way He can. You've got to be, you're part of this. We're all this together. We've got an audience of one, and that's the Lord. We're here to serve Him, and anything that's peripheral to that, we do away with and get rid of. That's the New Covenant worship service. That's the worship service that was established by Jesus and His apostles. We talk about the apostolic church. However they worship under the apostles, that's how we worship today. The same practices. We follow that to a T. If we come in and start trying to add new stuff to the church, if you're going to add instrumental music to the church, we have some churches done that. We call them progressive churches. They're not progressive. They're regressive. They're going back to the old covenant. They're going back to the Old Testament. The modern church is what we have. That's why I said Primitive Baptist is a modern church. We worship according to the new covenant. We're not letting ourselves be pulled back under the old covenant that the Lord said we're doing away with. It's gone. That's the old way. The new way is you come and you worship in your heart. That's what the Lord wants. That's where He is. He wants us to worship from our heart. To do that, we need to go through and cleanse the temple, because our inclination is to go back to the old covenant. Look at all the churches that allow themselves to get pulled back under the old covenant. We want to start. What if I showed up in a robe next week and I told you that we're going to have, I can't play the piano, but I can play the drums. I was a drummer in high school. I don't have enough fingers to play the piano or guitar. But Brother Gary could play the guitar, and I feel sure, I don't know everybody here, but somebody here can play the piano. We could do that. And I enjoy instrumental music a lot. You go turn on my car, my radio's going most of the time. I love the music, but it has no place in the church. We sing from the heart. We worship from the heart. We pray from the heart. Brother Walker didn't know he's going to get called on to pray this morning. He came up here and prayed from the heart. And that's what the Lord wants. That's how we worship Him. We sing from the heart. We pray from the heart. We try to preach from the heart. Because we are the New Covenant Church. To do that, we've got to go through and cleanse the temple. We've got to open the doors, spiritually and physically. Open the doors to the church. We've got to be open to people who come in. Regardless of whatever religion, we don't make fun of other religions, but we want to come in and show them. My dad used to tell me, you don't sell a person on a new house by running down their old house. You go show them what's in the new house. You go show them how beautiful it is and how much they can enjoy it. That's what we've got. We've got a doctrine that can give great comfort to a lot of people. We're not here to save your soul. That's the Lord that does the increase, not us. We're here to plant and to water. And that's our job. And that's part of cleansing the temple and opening the doors of church. Whatever's in here that doesn't belong, we need to take it out. Not only do we need to take it out and get it out, we need to burn it and get rid of it. I say that particularly when we're talking about our own bodies, our own lives. We have times every now and then when we ought to clean out our bodies. We need to cleanse ourselves. Get ourselves back to right the way the Lord would have us live. Unless you're different from me, we have things that come into in our mind times, and I hope they don't get into the worst case where you have various addictions to drugs or sex or alcohol or gambling or all those type of problems that we let invade our body. That's the temple we're talking about. You know, Jesus didn't like the money changers in the temple. He didn't like it, and we would let those things take over our bodies and our minds. He wants us open up, and then take those things out. You know, if I've got something that I shouldn't be watching on TV or I shouldn't be reading or I shouldn't be doing, and I hear this deal about cleanse the temple, I say, okay, I'm going to take them out and I'm going to put them in the garage and store them away. No. Hezekiah says, burn them. If I put it in the garage, that means I may go get it again someday. It's not like old pictures that I want to revive and pull out. Hezekiah says, you take them out and you burn them. You get rid of it. That's the way you cleanse the temple. You take it, not only do you take it out, but you take it down to the trash dump and you burn it and you get rid of it. And you restore your body to back what it was intended to be. You know, in the Old Testament, we had these 630-something laws we were required to follow. In the New Testament, the New Covenant, Jesus was asked this and he says, all those 600-something laws, now there's two. Love the Lord with all your heart, your mind, your soul. And number two, love thy neighbor as yourself. That's the only two laws we have. We don't have to get to know the Lord because he's told us he'll make us known to him. He'll make him known to us, I mean. He'll take care of all of that. But we're to cleanse our temple and get ourselves properly to worship the Lord. I've got a couple of scriptures I want to close on here in a minute. Let's go to Ephesians. When we're talking about cleansing the temple, we talk about restoring the service back to what it's supposed to be. We take things out of it. Our bodies, our church, take things out of it, restore them, burn the stuff that doesn't go there, and put the right stuff in. And when you do that, then the people will return. You'll return to the right way when you cleanse the temple, just like it did in Hezekiah's day. You'll have people asking, can we create more church service? I know you talk about, you know, when we came back here, this church was barely meeting here for a while. Just barely meeting on Sundays or every other Sundays. Now you come in here and you're doing it on Wednesday nights. The doors of the church open. You're getting big crowds on Wednesday nights too. And that's why I want to commend this church. Not only do we at a church, but we do it with ourselves. Ephesians chapter 5. Excuse me, chapter 4. I'm looking at chapter 5. Chapter 4, verse 22. And he's talking here about a new life that you have with Jesus Christ. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. Cleanse the temple. Cleanse your body. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. This is great to read. Let me skip down here to verse 29. Let no corrupt communications proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. I have trouble with this. Just keeping good communications. You know, we're all alike and we may want to do some gossip from time to time. It's always fun to talk about somebody who's having their troubles. You know, we ought to follow that adage that we don't say anything unless you can say something good about somebody. Verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God forsake Christ, even for God for Christ's sake has forsaken you. I want to go over here to Colossians, and this is where I want to close in the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on the things of the earth. Now, this is why it's important that we be careful what we see and what we do, what we watch on TV, what we do on the internet. This is why it's important that we teach our kids what you do on the internet is important. You're putting stuff in the temple that doesn't belong there. And that's the things of the world. And we think that's great. We sometimes, I was talking with Brother Gary this morning and Brother Joe this morning about when the Lord says, you know, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. We don't think that. We think that His burden is tough. We think the burden of the world is light. We want to go do the things of the world. Actually, because we don't believe what He's telling us there. When He says, He talks about His yoke is easy and His burden is light. I may have those backwards. You know what I mean. But because it is, and when you do what He tells us, it makes our life change dramatically day to day. I'm not talking about saving your souls. I'm talking about day to day. Let's get over here in verse 12 of Colossians chapter 3. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God. Now, He's not talking to you as a lost soul. He's talking to you because you are the elect. You are His child of God. He has put Himself inside you. You're the temple of God. You are the elect. Some people say they don't believe in election. Well, you can't have elect without having an election. And that's what Paul's talking to. I'm talking about you are children of God. I know you're susceptible to the things of the world. I know you may want to watch TV and those things. I know you want to stay home and go to the football game instead of going to church. I know you want to do all sorts of things in this world because the world attracts you out there to do those type of things. But he says, and that, I'm not talking about your eternal salvation, because he says, I'm talking to those of you who are the elect. You are children of God. Your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. But you're susceptible, as Paul tells us elsewhere, to the pulls of the problems of this world. He said, therefore, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved. You're holy and beloved. We need to keep that in mind. We've got the holy temple, the Holy Ghost, temple of the Holy Ghost inside us. Elect, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long suffering. Those are what we restore the temple to where it's supposed to be by doing those things. Forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things. Now he's given us a laundry list of things that we're supposed to do to restore the temple to where it's supposed. And then he says this, and above all these are all important, but the top one, he says, above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. And he goes through here and tells us even more stuff that I won't cover today for the interest of time. I want to conclude this. But he tells us here about just as Jesus came through, just as Hezekiah did, Jesus came through and cleansed the temple. We need to do that from time to time. The things of the world creep into us. They creep into the church. And this church has been, I want to commend this church for doing what it's done the last several years, because you have come in and you have cleaned up the temple. You've restored the service and you've got people coming back to church. How long has it been since you had an annual meeting as opposed to what you've had the last couple of years? And this one you just had a couple of weeks ago. It's a wonderful sign of returning this church, doing the right thing, of cleansing this church and bringing it back to where it should be. Also want to commend you that we need to do that with our bodies. And if it's good you do it, that's great. But you've got to come back and do it again, because the devil's out there and he's going to do everything he can to pollute you. He's going to do everything he can to put burdens in your way to make sure that you don't keep your body cleansed. You don't keep your church cleansed. He's going to work at it all the way. Apostle Paul gives us wonderful guidance here about, just like Hezekiah did, number one, come in and reopen the doors. Reopen the doors in your heart. If you got bitterness against anybody, you got somebody, I don't want to come to church because they don't look like me, they're a different color from me, they're a different denomination, they're a different church, invite them. Open up your heart and invite them to church. You're not inviting them again to save their souls. You're inviting them because we're opening the doors and we got something good that would do them good to hear and benefit from. Open the doors. Cleanse your temple. Take that stuff out. Don't put it in the garage and store it somewhere in the storehouse. Burn it. And then restore your service to the Lord. You'll get great benefit out of it. It'll be a great blessing to you while you're here on this earth. Y'all have been very kind with your attention. My prayer is the Lord will richly bless each of you. Do we have a song, Brother Gary?